You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Well, guys, welcome to a bit of a reality check. This is Locked On Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose. The Rockets just finished off a relatively stunning 117-109 loss to the Miami Heat at Toyota Center. That ends the pre-All-Star break portion of the season. The Rockets are now 40-18 heading to the break, still in firm possession of the third seed in the Western Conference by four games, but really the Heat are a team that's seven games under 500. The Rockets have won 5 of 6 going in, were relatively healthy going into the game. Now, they didn't end the game healthy. We'll discuss that in a moment. But going into this game healthy, playing at home, 3 days off against a team that they should beat. They were rested. They're healthy. No excuses. This was a game in which the Rockets can't play the fatigue card. They can't really play the injury card because despite Pat Beverly leaving early with a strained groin, many of the trends that got Miami to this win were already well in place by the time he exited at the end of the first half. So, yeah, no excuses. It's one of those games where the Rockets, some of the issues that had bitten them from time to time throughout the season came back to get them again. James Harden had a phenomenal individual line, 38 points, 12 assists, 12 rebounds, although a lot came in the fourth quarter. But you could argue that Hassan Whiteside was the best player on the floor. The Miami big man in his 31 minutes, 23 points, 14 rebounds, a 9 of 13 shooting, 5 blocks, just absolutely controlled the paint. And it was another game in which you saw a very athletic front line, and the Rockets simply could not adjust. Miami has a team, 46 rebounds. Rockets had 41, and really, the Rockets got back in and made the rebounding battle seem closer than it was based on how they scrapped and battled on those possessions in the fourth quarter when the Rockets went off, outscored the Heat 36-29 in the fourth quarter, and almost got back in this game, but ultimately they had dug too much of a hole before that. Anyway, the reason I say it's a reality check, just as in January we said the Rockets probably weren't as bad as that stretch in which they lost, 8 of 13, fatigue, injuries, Eric Gordon was out, Ryan Anderson and Clint Capella each missed time. They probably weren't as bad as that stretch. On the other hand, they probably weren't all the way back through these past six games. Going into tonight, they had won 5 of 6, but 5 of the 6 were at home. I think there was one back-to-back, and, well, that's one of the only games they lost, the Atlanta game in the front end of the back-to-back with the Bulls. So you had a stretch in which they didn't play any contenders. The games were relatively spaced out. 5 of the 6 were at home. So I think a lot of us wanted to believe the Rockets were all the way back and clicking. But the reality is that, well, just as the schedule, all the 17 games in January, the injuries, it might have been too harsh on the Rockets in January, made them look worse than they are. At the same time, a lot of us might have been kind of wishing them through this stretch where they won and got some big margin of victory games. They weren't really all the way back. And I kind of liked the way the fourth quarter played out because it spoke to the real issue tonight for the Rockets, which was the defensive end of the floor. For a while, the Rockets couldn't shoot. They ended up shooting not great, but a respectable 33% from behind the arc, 13 of 40, just over 41% overall. Not great, a little below average, but that's not why the Rockets lost this game. They lost this game because the Heat had 88 points through three quarters, and the Heat are not a good offensive team. I think they went into the game ranked 26th in the league in offense. And so it was a game where the Heat, they dominated the interior. The Rockets had no answer for Hassan Whiteside around the bucket. And more than that, the Heat seemed to get every loose rebound. Tyler Johnson was a huge force off the bench. And then really, when you look up and down the Miami roster, it wasn't just Whiteside. Tyler Johnson had 7 rebounds. So did James Johnson. He had 7. Willie Reed had 6 rebounds in 16 minutes. Deion Waiters, a shooting guard, had 9 rebounds. So it was up and down the Miami roster. They got every single loose ball. And the Rockets, essentially, they were outwilled in this game. Now, I do think Pat Beverly's absence played a bit of a factor. He played just 13 minutes before exiting with the groin injury. Beverly, and in those 13 minutes, he had 0 rebounds. So it's fair to wonder if maybe he pulled it early on and that impacted his lack of his usual vigor on the glass. He had a couple of very big rebounding games of late. And we've said the Rockets, they know their deficiencies with the likes of Ryan Anderson and sometimes Clint Capella, certainly Nene inside. They need their guards, their wings to rebound more. Beverly had 0 tonight. Ariza had just 4. James Harden did have his usual 12. I say usual because it seems like whenever the Rockets need him, he's able to dig deep and have a game like that. But the Rockets, we've talked about them getting their legs back. Well, they didn't have that tonight. They needed more rebounding from their guards. They didn't get it because we knew inside Clint Capella and Nene were going to be out-muscled by Hassan Whiteside. And so the Rockets were really, it just seemed like they, in some ways, were already on the All-Star break. They were beaten to every loose ball, and quite frankly, the Heat just wanted it more. One possession in the first half, they had 5 opportunities before finally scoring on a putback at the rim from Tyler Johnson. So this speaks to, in my opinion, some of the issues of depth that the Rockets have. Because, yes, they technically played 10 players tonight. But one of them was Montrezl Harrell, and he played 3 minutes. And I think we all know that, yes, they technically have a 10-man rotation when healthy, but when 3 of them are centers only, you really have a 9-man rotation because it's practically impossible to play 3 centers in a game. I know they've done it in a couple of games here and there, but for all intents and purposes, they have a 9-man rotation. Then you factor in Corey Brewer. Now, he's been better of late, but Corey is very inconsistent. So essentially, I would say it's like an 8.5-man rotation because Corey's production has been so up and down. And from there, all it takes is one injury, such as what happened to Pat Beverly tonight. We know Pat Beverly's style makes him prone to these little nicks and dings over the course of an 82-game season, and all of a sudden, you have very few options to turn. Corey Brewer played 27 minutes, even though he did not have his 3-point stroke. I don't know if he's ever had it to begin with, but he certainly didn't tonight. Sam Decker played 21 minutes, and he was 0 of 3, and not just the Decker miss, his looks from 3 were just point-blank awful. Eric Gordon coming off the back injury, he looked healthier, but he shot just 4 of 15. Certainly he was struggling, and I think what this speaks to, when you essentially have an 8.5-man rotation, because you're not going to play 3 centers, and then you have one injury, all of a sudden you are really thin in a hurry. And this was a game where some of the regulars for the Rockets, for whatever reason, maybe they were just already mentally at the break, I don't know, but they didn't have it, and the Rockets did not have any other options to turn to. So, yes, we can talk about rim protection, and maybe this was a game that showed the Rockets need one more big body inside. Personally, I think that depends on matchups. I think it's clear that Hassan Whiteside, with his combination of strength and athleticism, is a poor matchup for them, but I don't know how many Hassan Whiteside clones are out there. More than just one position or one situation, what I think this showed was the Rockets needing more options, period. Because when Beverly gets nicked up, and then Ariza doesn't really have his stroke, Corey Brewer and Sam Decker are largely dependent on how they're shooting on a given night. The Rockets really don't have a depth of options. So when you look at the modern NBA, you need versatility. You need different options a coach like Mike D'Antoni can turn to on his bench. And right now, there aren't any. If these guys are cold on a given night, there's not a 9th or 10th man that the Rockets can really trust to go get minutes. And so that's why some of the rumors we've heard lately, such as them looking at Jarrett Jack and Mario Chalmers, potentially looking at a 3-and-D wing, names I've thrown out have been PJ Tucker and Thabo Sefolosha. That's why those things make sense. People say, well, where are they going to play? And of course, the obvious answer, you could take a lot of Corey Brewer's minutes. But beyond that, even if some of these guys don't play, just having them in reserve, an option that Mike D'Antoni would trust, would mean a whole heck of a lot. Because I think it's clear at this point, Bobby Brown, KJ McDaniels, Tyler Ennis, the trust is simply not there. Whereas if you had a more proven commodity, a veteran like a Jarrett Jack, a Mario Chalmers, someone like that, that could be someone you turn to in a game like this where you have certain players who just for whatever reason don't seem to have it. And with the Rockets, there are a lot of one-dimensional guys who have one particular skill, be it defense, shooting, whatever. And if that skill is not working for them on a given night, then it makes them not good players. So I think this is a team 8.5, an 8.5-man rotation. And again, that's what I really consider it, given Brewer's inconsistencies and the fact that you can't really play 3 centers most nights. That's not very deep to begin with. Now, some teams cap it at that, but there's still one or two more that they trust that they could throw in a pinch. The Rockets don't really have that. And so tonight, I think that kind of show, that's why it's something we've been seeing all year long. It was kind of a perfect storm for the Rockets with the Beverly injury, Ariza being cold, Decker and Brewer not giving them any sort of lift off the bench, Gordon not hitting his threes. It was kind of the perfect storm where all these things came together, and maybe it's a good time for it because, well, going into the trade deadline, it wouldn't have been the best thing if they'd won 6 of 7 games and maybe, just scraped through this game and been under the perception that everything is fixed. No, the Rockets are a very good team, but there are some issues. And the good news is that the deadline gives them a good opportunity to address them, because at 40-18, they've done enough in this stretch of seven games before the All-Star break, winning five of them, being 40-18, four-game lead for the three seed. Yes, they're absolutely buyers. There's still a lot out in front of them, but we know what the problems are. And there's an opportunity, because there are not that many buyers, to address them. The other thing that should be pointed out, the Pat Beverly injury. At this point, the Rockets really have two guards they can trust in James Harden and Eric Gordon. And Gordon's missed a lot of time in the past month with various injuries. So really, you have one healthy guard, James Harden. Corey Brewer is not really a guard. Sam Decker certainly is not, with the way his three-point shot has fallen off of late. And really, the Rockets don't have many other options, because, as I said, it's pretty clear that Mike D'Antoni does not trust Tyler Ennis, Bobby Brown, or KJ McDaniels. So really, it's a reality check, but maybe it comes at a good time. And in kind of closing out this podcast, I'll point out that even though the Rockets did get back on track offensively in the fourth quarter, you can say for a lot of this game they were abnormally cold from three, but they ended up scoring 36 in the fourth quarter, being at least a respectable 33% from three, 41% overall from the field, and yet they still lost this game by 8 points to a Miami team that's seven games under 500 at 25-32. So that speaks to the amount that the Heat out-hustled them, it beat them on the glass, out-rebounded them 46-41, and well, overall, Miami, who came in ranked in the bottom five of the NBA in offense, they went into your gym and scored 117 points. So it's a good reminder of the Rockets as far as they've come. Yes, they're 40-18, big picture, you should still be proud of this team and where they're at, and a lot of this was probably simply because of the presence of the break, and some of these guys were already mentally out. It's happened a lot of other places. Memphis had a bad night at home against the New Orleans Pelicans, for example. But there are some common threads that we've seen throughout this year, and with this being the last game before the trade deadline, perhaps it's a good opportunity to remind everyone around the Rockets and in their front office that, yes, there are still moves that could be made. As far as Pat Beverly, that's kind of my final comment. We don't really know. A strained groin, it can be something that you get over for a few days. It can also be something that lingers for weeks. You won't really know until you see how he feels in the days ahead. It is a bit fortuitous that the Rockets don't have any games for the next 8 days, so I'm sure he'll get to heal up. But is it severe or not? I don't think the Rockets are really going to know that much tonight, and really not going to know that much for a day or two. It's going to be something where they're going to let him rest, and then they'll see what the situation is this weekend or maybe early next week when he first starts testing it. But regardless, even if Beverly is completely fine and ready to go by next Thursday in New Orleans, this was a three-man backcourt already, just Beverly, Harden, and Gordon. Two of the three, Beverly and Gordon, have been known over the course of their careers to pick up Knicks. It's definitely a need for the Rockets. I don't know that it necessarily has to be a guard per se, but you need to have someone that can shoot. The thing with James Harden, you have a point guard who can play 38 minutes a night. So around Harden, it's less about being a guard in the traditional sense, setting up the offense, and it's more about, can you shoot, and can you cover guards defensively? Now, Corey Brewer can do part of that. He can cover guards defensively, but his lack of shooting just really, really takes a toll, and we saw that for big stretches of this game. So when you see the Rockets, yeah, in theory they could use a guard, but it doesn't have to be a guard. In general, you just need more shooting, period. And I think the knickknacks, the little injuries to Pat Beverly and Eric Gordon over the last few weeks should further show the need for that. And really, it doesn't even have to be by trade. As we said, they checked in on Jarrett Jack and Mario Chalmers, guys like that that are free agents. And realistically, if you make a trade, you can still, for instance, cut Bobby Brown and use that roster spot for Mario Chalmers, for example. You can do that tomorrow, and I'm not saying the Rockets necessarily would do that because there's not going to be any practices, they're going to take this time off. I'm just making an example that, yeah, the Rockets can basically do a Brown for Chalmers swap and still make trades on top of that. So I really think this needs to be looked at in terms of two different planes. The Rockets need to control what they can control, which is take one more look at that free agency market, and if there's anyone like Chalmers or Jack that they like, if they see as a fit, you can make that move now. And then, as we get closer to Thursday, if a trade happens, there's no such thing as too much depth. I think the Rockets can happily deal with that then. It's not really like the Rockets would need to throw in Bobby Brown into a deal anyway. It's kind of unlikely for the I know some people say, well, what if you need it for matching salary purposes? But in reality, it's kind of difficult to have a 3 or 4 for 1 trade at the deadline because the other team would have to basically have room for those roster spots. So the more I think about it, I don't really see a point in keeping someone just for that possibility. I could see keeping Tyler Ennis for that possibility because at $1.8 million, his salary could be useful. But someone like Bobby Brown, I don't think that that roster spot, that minimum salary, is going to be all that important no matter what. So the Rockets have to look at this in terms of what they can do in the trade market, but also what they have 100% control over, and maybe that's two different things. But if there's a free agent that they like and can fit, maybe this is the time to take one more look, because with the latest Beverly injury, and by the way, groins absolutely can linger. That's an injury like a turned ankle, or depending on the severity, that absolutely can linger with him. And maybe even if he does play, you need to try and cap his minutes for the foreseeable future. Either way, this was a game in which the Rockets, they were outplayed. They were out-hustled, and it was clear early on what some of the areas were, and the Rockets and Mike D'Antoni just did not have enough options on their bench to turn to. So maybe it can be a blessing in disguise. This game happened before the All-Star break. We'll have to wait and see. For now, though, it certainly stings. Rockets 117-109 losers, now 40-18 heading into the break. And well, with that, I will sign off and get ready for the All-Star break myself. Now, it's not the final episode of the week for Locked On Rockets. This is our normal post-game episode. I'm going to be back tomorrow with Ali Bajani. You know him on Twitter as the Rockets Insider. He's going to take us inside a few of these last few games from an X's and O's perspective, tell us what's been right, and also he already was DMing me during the game about some of the things that were going wrong against the Heat. I know he's got some concrete ideas for how they can fix them. I know one thing that he's specifically concerned about is the lack of movement when James Harden has the ball. Certainly James Harden was magnificent tonight with 38 points, 12 rebounds, 12 assists on 10 of 21 shooting. I know Ali was not impressed with the lack of movement from the other four players in the court for most of the game, so I'm going to talk with him about that tomorrow, and as always, I think he's just a very insightful guest about the Rockets and the NBA as a whole, so we'll have him on tomorrow, then early next week, we'll dive full into trade speculation, but for now, this is our usual postgame show, and it's not a happy one, so nothing more to say, I'll leave it off there. Again, I'm Ben Dubose. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Dubose. You can also follow my work at SportsTalk 790. The website is sports790.com, the official flagship radio station of the team. Had a column up just today about the Rockets' likely approach to the trade deadline, specifically the aftermath of Serge Ibaka going to Toronto and what that leaves the Rockets with and what they're likely to do. So if you haven't read that, please go to sports790.com or my Twitter page at Ben Dubose, and you can check that column out. This is Locked On Rockets, your only daily podcast covering the Houston Rockets. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Rockets. You can also subscribe to us, rate us, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Audio Boom. Just search for Locked On Rockets, and you can find all of our 140-some-odd episodes. You can also email us at lockedonrockets@gmail.com if you've got questions about the team, suggestions for the show, or if you'd like to inquire about becoming a potential sponsor of this rapidly growing program down the line. Anyway, I'll wrap it there. Heat 117, Rockets 109. Houston will go into the All-Star break at 40-18, and they will also go into the trade deadline at 48-18. What's next? Stay tuned. For now, try to make the best of your Wednesday, and I'll be back with you tomorrow with Ali Bajani, a.k.a. Rockets Insider. Until then, have a good night.